action. Y'all would bless you. Tonight, I want to do a teaching focusing on the fire that's before us. Unlike the beasts that were created in the Garden of Eden, man was created very different. And if you look at, and Strum says, man was the only thing that was created to live twice. The purpose of man's existence is to live twice, just like the second Adam did. And he got it. And so we have to look, if we want to stay on course, we have to go back to what is the purpose of our existence? It's the next life. This life right here is school. That's all it is. Did you go to school with anybody that didn't pay attention and they got bad grades? They wouldn't think. And even myself, I look back at some of the people that really paid attention. I'm like, man, I really wish I would have took school more serious. I was not thinking about after school. And in fact, by the time I became a university, I had to retake everything. Why? It wasn't because I was stupid. Mm-hmm. I'm having fun. That's most people's lives. Their whole life is just screwing off. And sometimes it's not intentional. But it is offensive to their designer. Because everybody gets this freedom of will. What are you doing with your life? And we're looking at it. So our job is to be an example to show people. Test is coming. Oh, you're such a nerd. And we'll get shamed. You're a nerd or whatever. What do cool people do? You make fun of the people that keep turning lights on. But what happens when you start taking tests? There's only one person laughing after that test. You know, it's the people that study for it. They're like, I'm so grateful I didn't do what those guys did. That's this life. And how long is this life going to last?
That's right.
In our mind, it's going to go on forever. We don't know when we're going to die. And we don't know when Christ is going to come back. Any moment, He's coming back. Are we living that way? And most of the time, I'm probably not. And somebody's got to remind me. Are you prepared for the owner of the vineyard to audit all this? A lot of it, yeah. Some of these other things. And so that's tonight's teaching I'm going to share. We were designed to live twice and to be a testimony to people. The owner of the vineyard's coming. And my father encouraged Veronica and I to watch a movie. And it was Escape from Germany, and here are these Latter-day Saints, people call Mormons, that are missionaries in Germany, and what they call the prophet gets a vision that it was prophetic. They need to leave Germany now, or they got 3 days to leave Germany because they're getting ready to go to war. That is not natural. They look ridiculous at the beginning of the movie too. And the neat thing about that is that one of the main guys is told to get this German couple with you, take them with you. They don't want to go. So he calls up the boss and says, you told me to get this husband and wife. They said no. He said, go back and get them. Yes, they will. Great. What happens? Who was telling him to go back and get them?
Yahweh
was. Yahweh's going to go get them now. And they did. And how many times have we been told to go back and get somebody? It's not popular. But what happened? And this guy, the main guy in this, he's told with an impossible feat to do, go find all the rest of the missionaries in Germany. And he's like, this is
Poland.
What?
They were in Poland?
No.
No, I thought in Germany.
No, shh. I got to stay. In Germany. And how's he going to do this? And what he was forced to do was to live like an Elohim. And he had it. And sometimes Yahweh puts in a position to say, it's time for you to grow up. You're moping. You're acting like this is the hardest thing ever. It's time to grow up. This guy, I'm not going to say that he was moping or anything like that, but the thing was, you can do more. And he didn't know he was ready. And all of us have been in a position where Yahweh goes, swim! Swim! I'm not ready! He throws you in. Did you die? No, but was it terrifying? Yeah, it is terrifying at times. But what's the purpose of your life? Is it to be comfortable? No. And you, and all of us will have to give an account. What did you do? What did you do with your life? Well, I was comfortable. I just didn't want to offend anybody. You got your award. And that's what we should be, a living testimony to everybody we know. Are you ready to take your exam? You and my father are very, very well educated. Both of you guys have great gifts in studying and test taking. And I can imagine both of you guys being great examples of people going, look what they're doing. And people like me, goofing off and having fun, I would look at those people and in the back of my mind, they're going to be really rewarded and I'm going to regret this. And guess what happened? I did regret it. And they were really rewarded. So will we be rewarded if we shine the light. We're not supposed to blend in. We're supposed to stand out. We're not supposed to be sheep. We're supposed to be sheep dogs. What does a sheep dog do? He grabs a sheep by its face and pulls it out. You stupid sheep. And thank you, sheep dog. Get over here. That's great. Or we're supposed to be goats to the world. They said that goats don't listen to you. Vera talks about growing up and she goes, they're crazy. And that's what we are supposed to be to the world, not sheep. And they go, they never do anything we say. Thank you. Thanks for noticing. Don't blend in. But to be an example as an Elohim. You are an Elohim. Who is your father? You have the hearing of Elohim. You have the sight of Elohim. You have the feet of Elohim. Your shoulder of Elohim. Why? Because your father is an Elohim. Tick tock. What are you doing? And for all of us to go, hey, this is what you're doing with all your time. We just watched something from the Shark Tank. The guy from the Shark Tank is going, what are you doing with all the money you have? You're going to run out. And even with me, as a financial professional, I'm going, I could do things, some things better. Was I comfortable? No. Was I grateful afterwards? Yes. It was very good. Let's see here. But we'll do manifestations at the end. We'll turn to Mark 37 or Mark chapter 3. I'll give you the page number. So the third chapter of Mark. Actually, don't go to Mark. Go to I'll try to get a revelation here. Mark chapter 3, page 37. Mr. Rotherham.
Nice.
35. Mark chapter 3, verse 35. And if somebody would read that.
Whosoever shall do the will of Yahweh, the same as my brother and sister and mother.
And read the footnote underneath it.
No article.
Brother of mine. You want to be a brother of mine? What did Christ just do there? He separated. There's a time when the oil and the water, maybe it's not going to be oil and water, some things do separate. Crucible, silver, refined seven times, it keeps separating and separating. And the impurities come out with heat. You know about chemical engineering, probably understand some of that a lot better than me. It separates. What was happening here is, who can say that to the mother of the Messiah? Is that easy? No. And what were people expecting? There's exceptions to everything. We do that in football. You're really hard on the rest of the guys. Wait till his son's on that team. And a good coach is harder on his son than the rest of the players. And trust me, everybody's watching. And then the rest of the players are like, dang, he really does love us. Look what he does to his son. And you're able to affiliate the difficulty and the high standards of a father or a coach with actually, that's how much he loves me. And if you read that in Hebrews 11, if you're not being disciplined, he doesn't love you. Wow! That's separating. When was the last time he disciplined you? I haven't been disciplined in a while. Are you? Then you must be just like Christ. Well, there could be more. And we should be looking and go, Father, how can I do a little bit better? And you know what he'll do? He's going to say, thanks. You're doing great. But if you'd like to do some more, here's this. And that's what the disciples, James and John and Peter, are like, I can get more. There's more. I don't got a whole lot of time, man. What a relief for Christ to see those three people that kept rising up, asking for more and being taught. But what Christ did here is he showed all these people, I am not a son of Adam. I'm a son of Elohim. My family are those who do my Father's word. That's me. But what about your family? What about your friends? Did Christ have feelings? Yeah. Did he love his family more than we could ever even imagine? What did he do when he had a chance to choose? He was not thinking about the people he's going to lose. He was thinking about his Father. Father, Adam chose his wife. I choose you. Passed. Yes. Wow. Wow. Turn to Daniel chapter 1. That's page 844. And this is where we could be looking at it going, are you ready for your tests? One time, a test with driving cars is if a deer runs in front of it, you don't swerve. You just brake like this. And so as a macho guy, everybody thinks they're going to pass a test until somebody needs CPR or there's a gunman and somebody rises to it. And any reasonable person wonders, are you going to pass the test? For instance, Dad did CPR on somebody. Passed the test. Other people, would you panic? What would you do? But my brother Israel, a deer runs out right in front of it. He just slowed down. We went boom, 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 boom over the deer. And I looked at him. I go, you passed that test. Because most people aren't thinking about destroying their car, but they're reacting. But this is where we should be preparing people to go, come on. Are you ready for the tests? Are you prepared? My wife is so good at this. Being prepared to be tested. Not in fear. Oh, no, don't give us a test. No. I need to be tested because I'm working on a PhD. I need to find out if I actually have this. If you're studying for a serious exam, you want as many tests as possible, right? Practice tests. Helmet. Pop quiz. Hey, I'm going to give you some flashcards. Will you help me with this? And if you care about me, yeah, I'll help you with this test. And you're like, Aaron, you keep saying that, but it's not what the card says. You need to work on it. And that's what we should be doing. My wife has done this with movies. She keeps this house clean. We'll start watching a movie, and sometimes some sexual stuff starts coming in. She stops it. And I'm like, thank you. That used to always be me. I always had to be the bad guy. And she goes, I'm not letting that in our house. I go, thank you. You know who else is blessed? The owner of the house. Because when you bring filth into the house, guess who's got to leave? The holy Elohim. There is no light and darkness. When you bring darkness in, he's got to go. And that's what Adam and Eve did when they chose. And Adam and Eve, or Adam, just, it was one thing. Believe, whenever I talk about Adam and Eve, Genesis 3 example. We don't know what happened afterwards. But they evicted. So we think, no, we'll just keep everybody happy. We can bring sin in. And it's a slow fade. It's a slow fade. It's a slow fade. But in all reality, when you bring sin, especially sexual immorality or idolatry, you always got to go outside. Can you imagine that? You're like, God, I did that. But my wife stands up and she's prepared. My father also said that. We go to a movie. If it is offensive or if it's going to defile me, we need to be ready to walk out. Well, I paid money for this. At what cost are you going to do this? Are you prepared to walk out? And we should be in our own lives ready to walk out in anything. And we should have a contingency plan to say, if you love somebody, then you're going to be constantly reminding them about the fire they're going to go through in 1 Corinthians 3:15. All of our lives are going to go through the fire. I love you, and I don't think you're thinking about the fire. You're not thinking about Christ going... And we should be building each other up and preparing. So we go to a movie, and Dad passed the test. Garber starts coming up. He gets up. You want to leave? I said, thank you. Thank you. And I'm blessed with leaders in my life that are always leading. And recently, Yahweh, this is going to be a reproval of me. We're hunting. Izzy does this trip with hunting. His brother-in-law is a problem. He doesn't tell his kids. No, he didn't tell anybody. No, he's a really nice guy. And he's not a really nice guy. because he doesn't tell anybody no. He always wants the people to like him. What does that mean? Anybody who lives with him is always being forced to compromise. We're wearing deer clothes. Decent. The clothes are outside. Got all this stuff. Josh picks up a stray dog. He found out and brings it in the house. The stray dog is peeing on the ground. It's jumping up. It eats my brother's food. And Izzy's... And he's trying to... We're trying to have a fun time. And the rest of the people are just acting... Oh, it's a dog. And Josh is, this is going to be a $4,000 dog. I'm like, this dog's a $4,000 dog? Sit. No, it's not. Can't sit. This dog was dumped out in the country because it is a bad dog. And somebody didn't want it. And now he's going to bring it in. And so this... Izzy said, get that damn dog out. So get rid of the dog. And then anytime we weren't looking, you know what happened? Josh's friend, the guy who Izzy warned me about, a really nice Christian guy, opens up the door, just leaves it open. So when I come back in the room, the dog's in there again. Well, he didn't let it in. There's a spiritual war. My wife told me there's going to be a spiritual war. It's going to happen there. And this happens over and over and over again. And then I said, get the dog out. And but in this case... I'll speed up to the end of it. Israel and I get done hunting, and we come in late, and the front door, the door's wide open. Why is the guy got the door open? He's going, I'll do whatever the hell I want. This dog's going to come inside, and we're supposed to be hunting, and the dog smells everywhere, and we're getting dressed, and this is Izzy's cabin, this is Izzy's hunting. This is his brother-in-law and the two problem people that he knows about. And he's goes, they brought that dog in again. Why are they doing this to me? And I'm like, go get him. And you know what happened? Yahweh put his finger in my face. He says, why does he have to be the bad guy? Why does he always have to be the bad guy, you coward? Get in there and do something. Don't you feel sorry for the guy that brought you on the hunting trip? Don't you feel sorry for this guy? You coward? I'm like... And so I get called a coward, and I walk in, and I confront everybody, and I go, what are you doing? And I was a bad guy, and Josh mocks me, oh, whatever, sir. And I leave, but you know what happened? Izzy said, I never saw Izzy like this. He didn't have to get upset. Izzy didn't say anything. And then my heart rate's up to here. And the next day, Izzy said, what happened? I told him what happened. He goes, oh, okay. But here's Yahweh telling us to rise up, be a new creation, stand up for the word, stand up for what's happening here, and be ready to be the bad cop. Embrace it. Christ was the bad cop. And how many times has he been a bad cop in our lives? How many times has he purified our life to say, you can't do that anymore? And so when we rise up, we become a new creation. But in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, if you guys would read that, 8:44.
In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim.
1 verse 8, Daniel.
Chapter 1, verse 8.
Go ahead.
But Daniel laid it upon his heart that he would not defile himself with the delicacies of the king, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore sought he of the rulers of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself.
What did he do? He prepared as an Elohim. The scriptures never say that we are Elohim, but if your father's an Elohim, what are you?
Son of an Elohim.
If my father's an Elohim, oh, here this is. What is Daniel going to do? Well, what we do, if you go down to verse 10, the guy that's in charge of him says, my own head unto the king is going to... I'm going to die, Daniel, if this doesn't go right. So what's on the line here? Daniel's going to die. What is Daniel doing? You think confronting a family member is difficult. What about this? Daniel goes, I will not defile myself. If it's going to be that... And what did he do? He refused to defile himself, and Daniel would have checked in. He would have talked to Yahweh. We know that from the rest of his life. And Yahweh would have said, and probably confirmed it, this is a fight worth fighting. And what happened? Daniel later on becomes running Babylon. And you're like, golly, the crucible. He had to be the bad guy. And Yahweh is watching, going, the Apostle Paul had to be a bad guy. Moses, my
servant.
Thank you. Moses, my servant, is dead. How do you think Yahweh felt about it? A lot of people, when they die, it's going to be, nobody's even going to notice. They don't do anything. You want somebody, you want to be valuable in the kingdom, then volunteer for the tough stuff. The tough things to say, I'll go clean this stuff out. But here's Daniel, I will not defile myself. And that's what we should be doing, to shine lights on it. If you're going to make it really simple, great. I will not defile myself. You can't have both. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. And the purpose of this is that when we look at these lives or these things, my little digression with me being forced to not be a coward was a good transformation of me going, man. But it doesn't even belong in these scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. But what we're looking at is behavior that is not natural. It does not make sense. And to our brothers and sisters in Christ who are living natural lives, it's not going to make sense. Is your job supposed to make sense? Or is it supposed to be a light? To turn on the light, what you guys are doing in the dark. And so somebody would read 5 verse 11.
But now have I written unto you not to be mixing yourself up. If anyone named a brother be a fornicator or covetous, or an idolater, or a reveler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one as this, not so much as to be eating together.
Is that easy? No. It's not easy. At least if it's your loved ones. And I even had that with Mark 3:35. I was on a campaign. Who is your brother, sister, your mother? It's those who do the will. It's to do the word. And I even witnessed this woman from Germany. And here she was. She was had a really good heart. I was going to go visit Germany. I thought I was going to be helping her with her ministry. That it turns out that her parents are mediocre Christians, but her brother is a bum. He's a socialist bum who doesn't work. He's a cancer inside their house. And then later on, you get pop. Oh, you smokes marijuana too. What are the odds? And then I confronted her. I said, "It says you kick him out." She goes, "You can't kick him out. He's my brother." And Jolly showed. Do you know how easy of a target you are in a family if Satan only needs to get one of you to infect everybody with lice, with herpes? And I said, you are an easy target. So what happened is the adversary got the brother, and now the brother is living in the house, then the parents, and now even you. Yeah, who do you love? Why do you say you love me and don't do what I say? Kick him out. And I was feeling good about this, and I was congratulating myself until my son did it to me. And basically, my son told me, you will not do what Yahweh word says. If you want to be in my life, you're going to do what I say. A 14-year-old kid did that to me. And you know what happened to me? I felt like everybody else, and I started coming up with reasons why I should compromise. He's all I have. That's all I got. That's my one son. I don't have any other kids. He's the only one that's been in there beside my mother and my father. And as these things are going through my mind, Yahweh was preparing me for that test. He said, what have you been preaching for a year? And then in a firm way, he goes, you're a coward. Talk, 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 talk. You can confront other people, but you can't confront yourself. I can't believe this. And he starts going at me, and he starts making it white and black. And when I started seeing more white and black, I had to go. He had to force me. But what happened was I chose to live like an Elohim. And I wrote a letter. You go down that road, you're on your own. He is not my son. So now when people ask me, do you have a son? I said, I used to. Lost him in 2020. They said, that sounds sad. It was sad. It was sad. But nothing can be lost that Yahweh can't restore. What happened to Jesus Christ after 40 days in the wilderness when he was tempted? Did he receive some companionship afterwards?
Yep.
What happened?
He got all the disciples.
Angels came. Yahweh sent messengers and food. who was with Yahweh when he was in the wilderness, or Yehoshua? His father. You want to be with me? You got to do what I do. It's a lonely day. It's a lonely time. And how many people were looking after were looking for Yahweh when Noah's flood happened? Nobody. No, not one. And why didn't they get on the ark? The door was left open with the box with Noah. Yahweh did not tell Noah how to close it. He did everything but close that. That's kind of a big thing, right? But we get to read that Yahweh closes it. Why was that door open? Because you can't bring fornication and drunkenness in here. You can't bring homosexuality in here. You can't be a socialist Democrat and come in here. Holy cow! Look at them! I'm not going in there! And these were the terms for the new earth that was going to happen. That is our life. All of us are supposed to be Noahs. To say, are you preparing? Are you? And if they shun you, Matthew 5:10 says Yahweh will replace it with twice as much. You just lost somebody for standing up for me. Man, great is your reward in heaven. I don't feel like it because you're not thinking like it. What does Romans 12:1-2 say? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. By the
renewing
of your
mind.
What are you thinking about? Aaron's thinking about losing the little kid that has never... You know how many times my son rebelled? Two times. And one of them was going to be a severance of the whole relationship. What was I focusing on? Renew your mind, Aaron. Renew your mind. You can have a friendship with the world or with Yahweh. But friendship with the world is what?
Yes.
You become an enemy to your father. Well, I don't. That I got to read something in Strunz. It said, we won't go there in Peter. It said, they willfully forgot. And this was, I think it was in Spurgeon. But it says, the people willfully forgot the judgment that happened in 1 Peter. And what Spurgeon points out, he goes, when you're willfully ignorant, it counts. Now, how can I relate to that? Just don't ask them if they're living together.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to ask. They're not going to ask. Just don't bring up politics. Don't ask who they voted for. Don't ask if they're dating. Are you touching her like a wife? Whoa! Time out! What is this touching with a wife? It says you should not touch a woman like a wife. What is that? Don't bring it up, and then you're not guilty. Wrong. Because when we go before Christ, it's all going to go through that fire. And He will be there on the other side, and He will be ready for us to help us to say, were you focusing on the end? Because when Christ was being tempted for 40 days, what was He focusing on? Hebrews 12:1-2. Why don't we turn there? How can you be so hard? How can you do this? You say, I'm not the judge. But this is the judge you go before. And if especially if it's something black and white, you're going to go down that. You can go down there. And this is where we should be strengthening each other, because you're a really good leader with stuff black and white. So is my father. But when Yahweh's reproving me, why do they always have to be the bad guy? That is ridiculous. They should start saying, let me do it. And if they don't, say, I wanted to be the one. Nobody wants to be the bad guy. Now, you want to fight somebody, right? You want to tell them how they're stupid or wrong. The flesh will reward you for that. But when you go to a family member and say, repent, the fire that's in front of you is not worth it. Who wants to do that? At a party? Nobody wants to do that. Your flesh will reward you for looking at pornography. Your flesh will reward you for saying something foul. Have you ever noticed that? Say something in a fight, the words come out, and you're like, where did that come from? But your body feels good immediately. That's the monster that's inside you. But somebody reads 11:1-2.
12:1-2.
Yeah, Hebrews 11, 12.
Therefore indeed, seeing that we also have encircling us so great a cloud of witnesses, stripping off every encumbrance and the easily entangled sins, With endurance, let us be running the race that is lying before us, looking away unto our faith's princely leader and perfecter, Yahushua, who in consideration of the joy lying before him, endured a cross, shame despising, and on the right hand of the throne of Yahweh hath taken his seat.
How do you have the faith of Yahweh? You have to speak it. It is voice activated. Hey Siri, okay Google now. Alexa, how did Yehoshua endure the 40 days without food? Nobody's gone through with this guy. It's not just the food. He was tempted above anybody. Nobody's been tempted like him. How did he endure it? An Elohim. We are taught how to act like an Elohim. And how do you have the faith of Elohim? Romans 10:17 says you must speak it. You speak the word. Faith comes by hearing the declaration of the spoken word of Yahweh. And what Yehoshua must have been speaking to receive, he was, I'm going to be at the right hand of my Father. I'm going to be seated at his right hand. King David, I'm going to get to see him. I'm going to get to see my father, his stepfather Joseph, who died. And what he would do is he'd start, and I did something like this. Before, Yahweh just keeps raising the level, especially for sexual purity, before I met my wife. That I was witnessing to some guys, and we're at a sports bar, and they're like, whoa, this guy's radical. and they thought, you know, if you love somebody, it's okay to have sex. What are you talking about? And I reprove him right there in the sports bar. You can't. Tommy Crabb is gone. Dina is gone. They're gone. They chose the flesh, and they're no more. All we got to do is say a name, and then people would say, that's not right. Is it? Do you think the disciples ever brought Judas Iscariot? You're flirting with sin? With darkness? Judas hung himself! Judas cast out demons! Judas healed! And you think you can flirt with something and you can be immune? You have no idea. There's a roaring lion, and you're deliver yourself. Deliver yourself. John 14:8. The disciples, Philip told Jesus Christ, show us the Father. We don't have to go there. John 14, Yehoshua keeps talking about the Father, Philip goes, show us the Father. And Yehoshua goes, I am the image of my Father. We're twins. You know what's neat? We think about, what does Yahweh look like? What did his son look like? An average looking person. Was he tall like Chris Hemsworth with big arms and a good... No. He was probably 5'7". Probably didn't have good posture. Maybe he didn't have a really nice nose. He was just average. And here it is. But Yehoshua tells his disciples, if you've seen... It's like John Lynn did that. He said he had some friends who are identical twins. And they said, and to one person, they said, you got a brother? Yeah, I do. The person asking didn't know he had a twin. And the guy goes... what's your brother look like? He goes, I'll show you a picture. He pulls out his wallet and shows his driver's license. And the guy goes, ha, ha, ha. He goes, we're identical twins. You see him? That's a brother, same haircut. And your guy's like, wow. And John Lynn said, that's what Christ did. You want to know what the Father looks like? Look at me. But what Philip was saying and what all creation is saying is what? Show us the Father. And the people who are living in sin, who say, oh, I don't want to hear it. Guess what's happening inside them? Like the man from the tombs, there's something inside them crying out, saying, deliver me! Deliver me! Well, they don't look like it. They're drunk. Speak the word. It doesn't go out void. And who? And how many people gave up on the man in Decapolis? And to say, and if people don't choose... It's not my problem, but we should show them the Father. What does the Father say? Shine the light, prepare him. Is that what you're going to tell Christ when you meet him? Really? And not be ignorant like me. I just don't want to know what you're doing. Genesis chapter, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15.
First what?
1 Samuel 15. And you're going to go, I have a problem, a weakness, that sometimes I look at really strong people and I can't relate to them, so I don't think that they have the pain that I do. I don't have empathy. I don't think of them as... I'm not making a big declaration here, but I don't feel like I have a whole lot in common with Moses. I see him at such a higher level that Moses doesn't have my problems, right? I mean, that's same thing with David. But here's a prophet, Samuel. Who does Samuel look like? He looks like Yahweh. What does Yahweh want? Kids, come back. The prodigal son, come back. The owner of the vineyard, come. Come on. You can come home. You can come home. And that's what our life is supposed to be. A lighthouse, a beacon of hope that anybody can come home. But you can't come with that. No. 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 My job here is not to be popular. My job is not... Our jobs are not to blend in. In fact, we're supposed to be just the opposite. Because how can people find us if we blend in? And when you see your moment to turn on the light, check in with Yahweh, and then turn that sucker on and say, right here, you want to know how to get go to the Father? Here's the scriptures. 15 verse 34. Is somebody read that for me?
Then Samuel departed unto Ramah, but Saul went up unto his own house at Gilgal of Saul. And Samuel did no more see Saul unto the day of his death, for Samuel pined for Saul, but Yahweh was grieved that he had made Saul king of Israel.
Whose choice was it for Samuel and Saul not to see each other? Saul ended it.
Yeah.
Saul broke the covenant. What do you think Saul said? I thought you loved me. Because later on he goes, I acquire Yahweh, and he doesn't hear me anymore. He never repented for killing the priests. He never repented for trying to kill David. And who's he trying to kill? Yahweh.
Yeah.
Saul never repented, but what do you think Saul said to his family? Oh, here I am tormented with these spirits, and the prophet won't even see me. All I want to do is come home. How did that make sense? And we get to read right here, I never saw it this way. Was it easy for Saul and Samuel to say, no, there is no light and darkness. You know exactly what you're doing, and you don't want to stop. That's your choice. You broke the covenant. You're out. But what did Samuel do? He was pining. His heart was broke. And Yahweh said, how long are you... And that's what we should do. They depart, let them depart. Our job is, I will not depart you. When a loved one leaves or they break it, and you're going to go, you know what it's like to have a child depart and go down a dark road. You do, right? Then don't do that to him by chasing after the wickedness. Because there is no fellowship, and I had that before. I was going to go get them. And then Yahweh said, you are going to do what Adam did to me. And the difference between you and Adam, Aaron, is you know exactly what you're doing. Adam didn't see. That's black and white. But here's Samuel going to go, man, what is my family? No, it's not. My family is Yahweh. And you can't be with Yahweh if you don't do this.
Yeah.
And you can't be unclean. And I had to do that with somebody. He wants fellowship. But he's got idols everywhere. And he's a guy who teaches the word. What did I do? He said, he contacts me. He goes, is everything okay? I said, no, everything's not okay. And he goes, what's wrong? I said, you're putting me in a really bad spot. He said, what's that? I go, now's not a good time. I'm working. He goes, I beg of you. I'm asking for prayers. I need revelation now. If there's something not right in my life, tell me now. And this is embellished. And I stopped and I went, you have idols in your life? You got three gods? You're talking to dead people, and you're a father of sexual immorality and idolatry, and here you are, and you're teaching this. You're teaching it. I said, don't you fear the judgment that he says in James was going to happen to teachers? And he went, ah! then we went to the scriptures, and still he, because of the scriptures, he stays at a distance. What is my job to do? To keep the light on. Yes, there's something wrong. Not with me. You got a problem with your judge you're going to be going to. And his problem is, why doesn't he want to bring it up? He doesn't want to lose his friends. And his wife is attracted to that idolatry. And in his own mind, if he changes, he's going to lose his wife. And so he contacts periodically. And he says, is everything okay? Yeah, sure, everything's fine. But you warn them, especially teachers. Genesis chapter 39, and I turn there.
What?
Genesis chapter 39, and this is where I think Vera and my dad are the best at this, and it's important for me to bring that up because it's not fair for those two people to be the ones that always draw the line. We got to be the ones. We got to step it up. Loving your neighbors yourself is he's always the bad guy. It's time to say, I'm going to take it for the team from now on. You go back. And Yah, what will happen when you do that? Yahweh will reward you. He will say, do you have desires that are not met in your life? Good. Focus on those things that only Yahweh can give you. You got them. They're floating around when you're walking. Now go to him with them. And he'll say, you do my word. You take it for the team. I'll give them to you. Now, instead of losing something, now it is, I want those grandbabies. Would you do it for a grandbaby? Would you do it for this? Yes. You're going to lose this. They're grown-ups. Verse 39, if somebody would read verse 9, chapter 39, verse 9 of Genesis.
There was no one greater in his house than I, neither hath he withheld from me anything save only thyself. And that if thou art his wife, how then could I do this great wickedness and sin against Yahweh for Elohim?
How beautiful is that? That if we do not separate ourselves from the fornicator, which means sexual immorality, are you living together? Can't have anything to do with you. You touch a woman like a wife, it can't have anything to do with you. Get things cleaned up. But Joseph said, and sin against Yahweh. Who heard that? Is this after the flood? Is this after Sodom and Gomorrah? And you're gonna go, and here Joseph was in a crucible. Now we know that Potiphar was a eunuch. He couldn't have sex. Maybe she could have sex. Maybe. It didn't say that. We know that Potiphar, Potiphar didn't kill this guy. But what's going on here? Maybe it was a custom that you could do these sexual things. It's okay. It's okay. What does he do? How could I sin against him? How could I sin against Yahweh? How could I... Yahweh who asked his son to die the death of the cross. Go back to the passion of the Christ. Can you tell him no? Ouch. And what we do is by focusing and re-looking and re-examining things, what will happen is that we start transforming ourselves into the Elohims we're supposed to be. We start feeding the new man. And as we feed the new man, the old man gets weaker and weaker. But Vero and Dad would be very good at turning things off. Don't pollute yourself. 1 Peter chapter 2. And I'll be just full confession. I'm not the teaching that I'm giving right now. I'm not that guy yet. I'm not that person yet. But the truth is the truth, whether you do it or not. And here's the standards. And here's what you're always trying to get me to fire you up. In my own mind, I am so clean. I'm so better than everybody else. And he goes, Aaron, you're not supposed to be comparing yourself with Americans. Compare yourself to my son. Yeah, like the Apostle Paul. How do you look at them? Well, I got a lot of work to do. Good. I'll reward you. I'll take care of your family. I'll do these things. Would somebody read chapter 2, verse 9?
For you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for a peculiar treasure, that the excellency you may tell forth of him who out of darkness hath called you into his marvelous light.
And we're supposed to be, I think King James will say, a peculiar people, this royal priesthood. We are, all of us, Adam and Eve were supposed to do that too. And all of us, we have a choice to live like a beast. Who wants to live like a beast? I want to. Actually, what you're doing is you're living like your own Elohim. I'll do whatever I want. There's a thing on Facebook. It says, does your God agree with everything you're doing? Then you are your God. Right? But the thing is to transform. And when we transform into this priest, what happens? Did you see how it ends with his marvelous light? Do you think Yahweh is blessed more when you have to do more difficult things to reprove a loved one? He knows how costly it is. He knows what it does to your stomach. He knows the fear, what it does to your blood pressure. We're all connected to his equipment, like in a hospital. And he goes, you still did it? And Wendy, get over here. Chuck, you did it again. I knew I could rely on you. But he's watching. And he's watching. And when we do obey, we become his marvelous light. The light, the shine. The shine of the world. And that's when we transform. We show. And then in Matthew 7:23, so when somebody goes, hey, are you afraid of losing your family member? Are you afraid of this? And you go, chapter 7 of Matthew. You're going to, hey, they said that they're never going to come home again if you don't do this. Or even worse, for the flesh, you're going to lose more of your family. You went too far, Veronica. You went too far. You know, everybody was getting along until you went and you went too far with this thing. We have that, right? And sometimes I had that with myself. And you just went too far with this thing. You went too far. And then we should say, and maybe it's nobody else saying you went too far. Maybe it's you, whatever it is. With that conversation, somebody read 22 and 23. You want to be scared of something?
Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, do we not in thy name prophesy, and in thy name cast demons out, and in thy name many works of power perform? And then will I confess unto them, never have I acknowledged you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.
That is scary.
Yes.
And now this is not talking about the body of Christ, but it could be applied. In all of our lives, we're written in the book of the life, but when we choose companionship, and it's all, what is the most difficult thing? It's going to be relationships. We choose relationships, you're going to go, nope. And he's not going to sugarcoat it. He's a judge. You know exactly what you were doing. That is scary. And that's where we shine the light to say, and I did. Sister Sue reached out to me. Didn't want to have anything to do with it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. Why is she doing this to me? We got a Christmas party coming. Here's me. I'm not going to say anything. If she shows up, this is my thinking. She shows up. Oh, I didn't know. That's what I'm thinking. I'm just not going to say anything. And these things are now. None of those thoughts were intentional thoughts, but these are the things that are just floating around. Don't ask them where they've been. And as it's going like that, Yahweh rebuked me. Aaron, if you don't do anything, who's going to have to do something? I thought you said you loved your dad. You're going to let him do it again? Oh, and you love him. But none of that cleanup stuff. And he rebuked me and he said, what are you doing? Okay, she opens up the message. I have a sister who refuses to live in life. She's a fornicator. And if you want to be in her life, you just got to accept it. Here this thing is. And I sent her a message and I said, this is not my law. This is your choice. I can't eat with you. Furthermore, there is a lion, and Satan is a roaring lion seeking to devour not just you, but all your loved ones. And if you were Satan, what do you think would be more horrifying for this woman? For her to be devoured or for her to watch her grandchildren be devoured?
Yeah.
Does Satan, the adversary, know about horror flicks? Does he like to get glory about terrorizing somebody, do something? That's what you should be worried about. And to show the scriptures in 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, if you confess and repent, only then can you be covered by the blood of the Lamb. And then Father is ready to welcome home. I said, our Father has extended invitations to you. He's waiting. I pray for you every day. I'm waiting too. And then I finish with a pastor that we knew that flirted with sin and ended up later on got so far into drugs, alcohol, fornication that he names his dog Jesus. What kind of demons does he have? And I said, Tommy Crab is your lesson. And here this is. What is that? What did I just do for her? To her? I shined the light. The choice is real simple. And what was being challenged, where I thought I was going to be put in a spot of possibly ruining Christmas, how selfish of me. If this is the lifeline that's going to get Nebuchadnezzar back. But that's all of our jobs. Shine the light, focus the fire that's in front of you, and when is it coming? We don't know. But man, it's going to be great, especially with this group. With this group, because there's not a weak person in here. Everybody in here has specific gifts. All of us are sons of Elohim, called to do some things that he can't do very well or I can't do very well. So strap it on and encourage each other to say, let's be prepared to walk out of a movie. Let's be prepared to walk out of a party. Let's be prepared to shine the light. When we walk outside, say, why did you guys all walk outside? 1 Corinthians 5 says, we can't even eat bread. I can't believe you would do that to Christmas. See you guys later. If we did do that, on my left hand, boy, what a sad Christmas, just the four of you. No. Because Yahweh's not going to be at Christmas with them. I thought we're celebrating his son's birth. Yahweh, his boat sailed. He went that way. I'm going after the pillar of cloud. Hey, wait for us. It's your son's birthday party. And that's what we can do. Father, we thank you. And we'll hear from Father with manifestations, not just from me. And know, my children, that I understand that you all have labors. You all have fears. But I want you to know that my son understands, and he's endured everything you're going through. And he was your example, and I put it in print to show you, you can do this. I want you to pass your tests, and I want to reward you more than you can even imagine. And that each one of you, I have trophies that I wish that I can give you. Medallions, all kinds of things. Stay the course. Be the life that I've called you to be.
I'll speak in tongues and interpret. Bukweleana eata satamea tu mosun. Ibekubiana eleana eatu queati. Rejoice, and again I say rejoice, because in my words is life. My words have put life inside you in order that you can be a replica of my son. So speak those words and live those words, and light will emit from you.
Speak my word. Constantly speak my word, shine it forth. We're living a dark and perverse nation. Never doubt this for a moment. Put that armor on and go out and shine.
And thank you for all these words. Amen.